I want to share a few words with you from the intersection of religion, politics, and government this week. Words that have been in the hearts and minds of scores of people in our nation and really around the world. I've chosen to repeat a few comments spoken by voices rarely ever heard in the news. After the President of the United States criticized peaceful protests focused on the racial crisis in our nation, launched a parade of military personnel and weaponry in the streets of the nation's capital, he watched those soldiers break up a peaceful group of protesters by using members of our armed forces to clear the way for him to walk from the White House to the church, often called the Church of the Presidents, to pose for a picture of himself looking bewildered. He lifted up a Bible in a manner that no one who respects the Bible as a sacred book would hold it. The president used a holy book for a political campaign tool. The Episcopal Bishop of Washington admitted outrage at the president's behavior, and she said, "I just want the world to know that we in the Diocese of Washington, following Jesus and his way of love, we distance ourselves from the incendiary language of this president. We follow someone who lived a life of nonviolence and sacrificial love." Well, the president ignored criticism and the next morning violated the sanctity of another holy place. The Catholic Archbishop in D.C. said, "The president's visit to the St. John Paul II National Shrine violated Catholics' religious principles, calling the president's words and actions egregiously misused and manipulative." People around the world know that Pope John Paul was an ardent defender of the rights and dignity of human beings. His legacy bears vivid witness of that truth. He certainly would not condone the use of tear gas and other deterrents to silence, scatter, or intimidate them for a photo opportunity in front of a place of worship and peace. After the president called the governors in our nation weak for not using violence to stop protests, the long silent past Secretary of Defense, Jim Mattis, said, "Donald Trump is the first president in my lifetime who does not try to unite the American people, does not even pretend to try. Instead, he tries to divide us." Mattis stressed, "We are witnessing the consequences of 3 years of this deliberate effort. We are witnessing the consequences of 3 years without mature leadership," he continued. "We can unite without him, drawing on the strengths inherent in our civil society. This will not be easy, as the past few days have shown, but we owe it to our fellow citizens, to past generations that bled to defend our promise, and to our children." Now I'll stop with a comment from the writer Salman Rushdie. I'm quoting, "In my life, I have seen several dictators rise and fall. Today, I say, beware America." Friends, this week, I have spent a lot of time thinking about the challenges in our nation that responsible citizens must face with as much creativity as urgency. It seems to me like we presently are facing more crises than we've ever faced at one time in my life, it's imperative that we address the racial injustice that so often ends in deaths that could be avoided. The time is right for all of us to join the people we have seen in the streets peaceably pleading for a system of law enforcement characterized by less violence and more justice. Thoughts about law and order give way to the gross number of people who are ready to go to work but have no jobs. Security for families is in question. And then comes the realization of a presidential election. We dare not fail to answer questions about what kind of leadership we need in this nation and what qualities are most important for our future. And friends, we still have a pandemic. The COVID virus has not departed from our nation. Indeed, some segments of our nation are only now being hit with life-threatening attacks, and our federal government has simply walked away from this killer with an ineptness that is beyond dangerous. These are among the major crises we must confront and address right now. And let's be realistic. No one can do this alone. We need to talk to each other. Let's share ideas for a better nation. And how can we help each other? We have to work together. Well, that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you've made a donation to State of Belief Radio this week, let me say a very sincere thank you. Your generous support of this program is vital to keeping us on the air. If you think there's value in what you've heard here, and you think it's important that others hear it as well, then please, please make your contribution today. Find more information at stateofbelief.com. That's stateofbelief.com. And do you know someone who you think might benefit from hearing what you're hearing? Please commit to sharing State of Belief with just one other person this week. With so many of us struggling with isolation, it can be very helpful to hear encouraging words and civil conversations around the issues we all care about the most. Stay up to date by subscribing to the free weekly State of Belief podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform. And take a moment to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Be a part of the conversation. Our producer is Ray Kirstein. State of Belief Radio is a production of Interfaith Alliance. Become a member today at interfaithalliance.org. And be sure to join us next week for more stories from the intersection of religion, government, and politics. Until then, you all take care of each other. I'm Welton Gaddy. That's State of Belief.
I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.